Welcome to On DOD on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Jared Serbu.
Thanks for listening to Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jared Serbu. This is On DOD. Thanks for tuning in this week. Our focus on today's show is the Air Force and its role in cyberspace. As we've reported on Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com, the service is doing a bit of soul searching about how to define the domain of cyberspace, what its role and capability should be, what exactly the Air Force brings to the Joint Force and the combatant commands. Upon assuming office earlier this year, the Air Force's new Chief of Staff, General Mark Welsh, said he worried that cyber was ill-defined and that it could turn into a black hole for money and programs. To solve that challenge, the Air Force's top generals and civilian leaders gathered in mid-November for a summit on cyberspace to try to chart the way forward. Lieutenant General Michael Basla is the Air Force's Chief Information Officer and Chief of Information Dominance. He was in charge of organizing the summit. He recently held a roundtable with myself and a few other reporters at the Pentagon to talk about the outcome and what's next. We're going to hear a good portion of that discussion today. We begin with General Basla's description of the summit and the reasons behind it.
On the 15th of November, we held a senior leader cyber summit. And when I say senior leader, I mean chaired by the Secretary of the Air Force and the Chief of Staff of the Air Force, with over 30 senior leaders from around our Air Force participating. Major command commanders, vice commanders, and the senior staff members from the Headquarters Air Force and the Secretary of the Air Force. The purpose of this session was to get our senior leadership on the same page with regard to where we are in the Air Force in cyberspace, what the combatant commanders are needing from the service components in cyberspace, what the nation needs, what the gaps are associated with where we are and where we need to be, and how we're going to go forward. And actually, this was a task that the Secretary gave to me to organize when I arrived here and had my in-brief with him in June. So we put about 4.5 months in preparation for that. And there were some major takeaways from that and go-dos, if you will, tasks that across the staff have to be accomplished. Some of those is to completely understand what the combatant command, and I'll talk about U.S. Cyber Command as that lead combatant command, requirements are. And we think we've got our head around that, although there is work being done, in fact, even today in the tank with the Joint Chiefs of Staff to talk about the current requirements for U.S. Cyber Command. And so we will then understand what those demands are, what our capabilities are, and address those gaps. Another major takeaway from that was, are we organized properly to meet the needs of the combatant command? A third major takeaway is, what do we have in our 14-POM, and what should we adjust in the 14-POM, and what should we target for the 15-POM? And that was based on our gap analysis done by our acquisition community. Against the requirements and against what we currently have programmed. So those were kind of the major takeaways from that cyber summit. And as I said, there's plenty of work that is going to be done. In fact, I'm in the process now of providing those actual tasks back to the Secretary for him to say, yep, Mike, you got them captured correctly. We believe our Air Force has a pretty darn good cyber capability. And that capability has continued to mature over the last few years. We've been doing cyber for a couple of decades, but it was a small scale thing. It was not called cyber, but we've been doing information kinds of things, you know, for some time. But now cyber are focused as one of our domains. And we think we're continuing to mature the capability. And I think that's validated by the combatant commander's reliance on Air Force capabilities. One of the things I think we took away was that the demand signal is going to continue, has increased, and will continue to increase. Why is that? Because the threat is out there. And it's not just a Department of Defense thing, as you all know. It is a national thing. It's a national imperative that we must protect our country against the cyber threats. And so we see an increase in the demand signal. That's going to be one of the things the Air Force has to address. How do we respond to that demand signal? And that has, there's a daisy chain associated with that. It is recruiting the right folks. It is training the right folks. It is positioning those folks in those right positions that they are going to be used to accomplish the tasks that are handed to us. And, of course, it is properly equipping those folks, you know, with the capabilities that they need in order to perform their job. Just like the Air Force is maturing, this sub-unified command is maturing as well. They signed out an operational directive in April that kind of said to the services, these are the capabilities that we need you to provide. Capabilities in support of regional combatant commands, capabilities in terms of areas of expertise that the Air Force might have or the Army might have, to focus on those things. As they mature, they are now refining this. Given the threat, given the national imperative, what else do we need should the President and the nation call on the Department of Defense to assist? Well, we are looking at they are looking at this through a couple of lenses: defense of the nation, and support of our regional combatant commanders. So that's the refinement that's going on right now. That the discussion is going on. You know, is that the right way to go? If it is, what's the level of support required, the capabilities, et cetera, and then how do we go out as services with our responsibility to organize, train, and equip the forces to provide the combatant commander's needs? So that's what's going on right now. With regard to Secretary of Defense's recent speech that you're referencing there, I think what that was is add a little more clarity about, you know, the probably not saying anything new, but maybe saying it more succinctly. That the cyber domain is like the other domains that we prepare for. That cyber is integrated across all our capabilities and actually, just about everything that we do in, as a nation, right? So we've got to be prepared for that. And should the nation call, you know, the commander in chief say that we need the Department of Defense to step up and do the following, we'll be ready to do that. So I think that was, I think he just added some clarity with regard to something we had already been, we already understood and we're already preparing for.
Lieutenant General Michael Baslay is the Chief Information Officer and Chief of Information Dominance at the U.S. Air Force. You're listening to On DoD. We're listening this week to a roundtable General Baslay recently held with myself and a few other reporters at the Pentagon talking about the Air Force's role in cyberspace at a recent summit the service's senior leaders held on the topic. We'll be back with more after a short break. This is On DoD on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jared Serbia. Welcome back to Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This is On DoD. I'm Jared Serbu. Hearing this week from Lieutenant General Michael Baslay. He is the relatively new Chief Information Officer in the Air Force. His alternate title is Chief of Information Dominance. Air Force recently held a cyber summit among its senior leaders to try to find its way in cyberspace, figure out some of its priorities going forward. Baslay recently held a roundtable with reporters, myself and a few others at the Pentagon to discuss that summit. It's actually a wide-ranging discussion of the Air Force's position in cyberspace. We'll continue hearing from some of that discussion right now as Baslay fields some questions about the Air Force's cyber budget.
You know, what I see is kind of we've been holding the line. This is one of those areas that we said we cannot afford to take reductions and may, in fact, be one of the growth areas in a very tight budget environment. So that's kind of where our position is today. And, in fact, that was part of the Secretary's desire to look at, you know, what should our position be in 15? And so that's part of the takeaways that we have from the Cyber Summit that we have to go work. With regard to you know, where those needs are from the combatant command, U.S. Cybercom, I guess I'll talk to it like this. There are three lines of operation. I'm not going to get too technical here, but three lines of operation that we see in the Air Force from our Title 10 responsibilities. That's day-to-day defense of our networks, right? Because we have to operate in, through, and from cyberspace to do maybe all of our mission areas. I mean, there's probably some out there that you could say, you know, you really don't have a cyberspace component to that, and that's probably true. But, you know, but really what we do touches or has elements of cyberspace integrated inside of it. So so we've got to have an ability to defend our network so that we can perform those missions with a freedom of action, okay? And whatever that case may be. If that's controlling our remote piloted aircraft from Creech Air Station in Nevada all the way to somewhere halfway around the world. That has cyber elements. Okay, that's, and in fact, I'll just tell you all that that is the bulk of our activity. That's where most of the money is. That's where most of the people are. Another line of operation in cyberspace is what we call defensive cyberspace operations. Now, that's a little bit different than the defense of the network. Defensive cyberspace operations is, I'll use the term, a proactive defense strategy. And what that means is this. It means that we are attuned to activity in the network. So we're discovering, we're detecting, we're analyzing, and then we are taking action when we discover something that is a potential threat. So we can avert that threat or cut or shut that threat down. And I'll tell you that that is a pretty small portion of the force. I would say about 5% of our cyber forces are doing that kind of activity. The third line of operation is called offensive cyberspace operations. And this is, you know, just like the term implies, when you take offensive action, you could you know, draw analogies to other activities in the air, land, space, sea, maritime domains. That's a really small portion of the force. It's like less than 1%. And so there definitely is the trained personnel, and there are some material capabilities that these personnel need to use in order to accomplish their mission. Let me give you one example. I said defending the net up front, operating and maintaining it day to day is our biggest responsibility, takes the most forces. We want to get to a position where we can automate more of that activity, where we have smart networks that say, gee whiz, that piece of the network over there isn't properly configured and it poses a risk. So we got to, you know, let's automate that configuration or just quarantine it until somebody can get to it. We want to automate some of these functions because, as I said, we'll see demand signals on the other side and we're going to have trained personnel to put against that. So there's both elements, personnel and material solutions.
This is on DOD on Federal News Radio. I'm Jared Serbu. We're listening this week to a roundtable held recently by Lieutenant General Michael Basla, the Chief Information Officer of the Air Force. He spoke with myself and a few other reporters at the Pentagon about cyberspace and the Air Force's role in cyberspace. You heard Basla mention in the last segment that the Air Force wants to take a reexamination of how its forces are organized for the fight in cyberspace. He was asked to expand a little bit on that statement.
There is not just one specialty associated with cyberspace capabilities. There are multiple specialties. There are engineers that have to design in security up front, right? They have security in mind. This wasn't always part of our thinking, right? That we would have threats to our networks, threats to our banking system, threats to, you know, you name it. You know, you see the television commercials where you got the guy at the gas pump, you know, that wants to steal somebody's credit card information. You know, we didn't think about those things when we designed that capability. So you have to have engineers. You have to have smart acquisition folks. you have to have the network technical folks that build it and operate and maintain it, as I talked about. You have to have intelligence folks. You know, when you talk about defensive cyber operations, to be able to detect and analyze, in some cases, that's an intelligence person. I guess that's really not how we have done business in the past. If I was a pilot, you know, I was a pilot. Now, sure, you have the maintainers to maintain the aircraft, and you have the air traffic controllers to control the aircraft. But that pilot got in the seat, and that pilot launched, and that pilot did his or her mission. In cyber, it takes a team. And so are we properly organized in the Air Force to facilitate that teaming that's required? And I think that's what our question is. Because right now we pull from different organizations across the Air Force to put that team together that I just described. I don't have a budget per se, okay? Now, on the air staff, what my responsibilities are is to understand our requirements and advocate for those portions of the Air Force that do build and submit the budget. And in this case of cyber, that would be Air Force Space Command. They're the core function lead integrator. We have service core functions, and cyberspace superiority is one of those service core functions. So they are responsible for building that, understanding those requirements, and building that POM input. As I said a little earlier, what we have said is that cyberspace will be one of those areas, or this is our intent. Now, you know, things change, you know, as the environment changes, but today's position is we will protect the investments in cyberspace. It will be one of those areas that we work real hard to hold the line, and it may be one of those areas that actually becomes one of the areas that grows a bit. So I think, you know, between what we are doing looking at the POM we built for 14 and adjustments that might have to be made in it, and if and you all know that it's a zero-sum game. So if we decide, you know, based on something that comes out of this tank session that I said today, or the meeting with the DepSecDef next week, if we find out that we have to respond to some cyber demands in the 14 timeframe and adjust that POM accordingly, something else will have to be reduced in order to do that. Unless, you know, and I certainly don't see this at this moment, you know, there's some top-line adjustment that I don't foresee, right? So that's kind of where we are.
Lieutenant General Michael Basla is the Chief Information Officer of the Air Force. We're listening to a bit of a media roundtable he held recently with myself and a few other reporters at the Pentagon about the Air Force's recent Senior Leader Cyber Summit and where the Air Force is in cyberspace. We'll hear more after another short break. This is on DoD on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jared Servin. Back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This is on DoD. I'm Jared Serbu. Listening this week to Lieutenant General Michael Basla. He is the Chief Information Officer of the U.S. Air Force. Recently held a media roundtable with myself and a few other reporters at the Pentagon, talking about the service's recent Senior Leader Cyber Summit. The Air Force's top generals and civilian leaders gathered in mid-November for a summit on cyberspace to try to chart the service's way forward and try and get a better definition of what cyberspace is for Air Force purposes. In this segment, we start with Basla fielding a question about cyber training. General Mark Welsh, the Air Force's chief of staff, said recently that senior commanders in the Air Force need to get a better understanding of the cyber capabilities the service already has. Basla says that was indeed one of the objectives of the summit.
One of the things we took away from the cyber summit is that we raised the level of understanding and awareness in our senior officers. In fact, I didn't say this up front, but that was a multi-part event. Let me tell you what I mean by that. I worked with the U.S. Cyber Command and the National Security Agency to have what I called an immersion day up at Fort Meade in September. So that was to bring the senior leaders up, you know, to get more awareness on the threat, to get more awareness on what Cyber Command and NSA capabilities are, and then to get an appreciation of what their expectation from the service components were. Then our great discussion on the 15th. And then spread throughout all that time, I was sending them material that we were having subject matter experts develop, you know, to raise the level of understanding and awareness. And it really did. I say it like this. We took graduate-level material. Our subject matter experts really understand that thoroughly, digested that material, put it in a form that was understandable and could generate a high-level discussion. So they took a whole day, that group, and we set it up so there was 30% presentation on our part and 70% discussion by the principals at the table. So that was I think we made a large step from the senior leader perspective. From throughout the ranks question that you have. Right now, our schoolhouses, starting with basic military training for our new airmen coming into the Air Force, has a cyber block in it. At our staff officer course, at our senior leadership courses, the Air War College, the Air Command and Staff Colleges, we have injected cyber material. So we are bringing it up there. And then for the core of the force, and as I said to Brian over there, that core is not just one specialty, but multiple specialties. For the core of the course, we have a number of programs that we stood up and continue to mature. Let me give you an example of one of them. We have a cyber operations weapons instructor course now at Nellis Air Force Base, just like we have for the fighter force, the aircraft fighter force, just like we have for the space force, just like we have for the nuclear force. And so the first graduates were in June. First class graduated in June. And now we see a synergy occurring out there between the planners and the operators that now include cyberspace in our exercises, et cetera. We had a cyber flag out there recently. Red flag now includes cyber elements. It's really amazing and pretty awesome that the planners now recognize that we have more arrows in our quiver, that there are options for targets, and those options don't have to all be kinetic. I guess I'll say it there. And then, I think there's other elements, but those are certainly some highlights. We have a schoolhouse down at Hurlburt Air Force Base in Florida. It's part of the 39th Information Operations Squadron. And that schoolhouse trains, it provides initial network warfare training. And these are the folks that do defensive cyber operations, go to those kinds of jobs, offensive cyber operations and all that stuff I explained that is under those umbrellas. If the demand signal goes up, which I expect it will, at the current throughput rate we have for that schoolhouse to meet today's demands, I think we project we will meet today's demands in the fourth quarter of 14. Well, gosh, that's what we've seen thus far in increased demand. If that continues to go up, then one of the things that we're definitely going to have to do is expand the throughput rate. And we've got some ideas on how to do that. I'll give you, a very simple example. 24-hour operations. We've got schoolhouses that go 24 hours, and if that's what it takes, that's what we'll do. You know, then you get to the other, you got to, have more qualified instructors. You have to have more bed spaces, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, those are the kinds of things that we're doing.
Lieutenant General Michael Baslev, the Chief Information Officer of the Air Force, again, listening back to some of the highlights of a media roundtable he recently held about cyberspace with myself and a few other reporters at the Pentagon. I'm repeating the questions here just because most of the reporters in the room are off mic. Here, Baslev's responding to a question about acquisition policy and to what extent it needs to change in order to support the Air Force's cyber ambitions.
I think we already have taken some steps, and let me share those with you. we stood up what's called a responsive cyberspace acquisition division as part of our lifecycle management center under Air Force Materiel Command. And this responsive cyberspace acquisition division is to do what you said. We recognize that cyber is a very dynamic environment. And there are different elements as we see our cyber acquisition needs. There's the foundation elements. You know, we're going to build an infrastructure, and in the Air Force, that infrastructure is going to be with us a little while. Well, there's a big element of that has existed for some time up at Hanscom Air Force Base, and they are about 500 strong, and they help us build out the infrastructure. But that's not going to be sufficient to meet the dynamic threats that we're facing, right? So down in San Antonio, we have what's called, well, I'll give you a couple of organization structures down there. The 24th Air Force, which is, as you know, the Air Force's numbered Air Force for cyberspace capabilities. And under that 24th Air Force, we have the 688th Information Operations Wing. And under that wing, we have what's called the 90th Information Operations Squadron. And the 90th Information Operations Squadron, about 100 strong, that's their job. Their job is to say, what is that threat that we're facing today after we've done that that deliberate detection analysis and say, hey, we must take some action. Do we have capabilities to meet that threat? Or do we have to, number one, do something organically because we've got the capability to beat something or to develop something organically, or get something from industry, and this gets to your question, in a much more rapid fashion than we have in the past. So the folks at Hanscom have now a division down in San Antonio that work hand-in-hand with this 90th Information Operations Squadron. And these are acquisition experts. And we have seeded them with money. And they have money to go out and do rapid acquisition in, and we kind of put this time frame on it, 6 months to a year or 18 months. So they are already, and we've gone through the hill in order to get those authorities. Now, your question is fair. Is that sufficient? I don't know. But it certainly is a step in the right direction. And so, you know, we've got to have it today stuff, and that's our organic capability in the 90th. Got to have it tomorrow, but can't wait for the long acquisition cycle to take effect. Well, that's the support of this acquisition division, cyber acquisition division down in San Antonio. And then part of the longer-term process, that's the Hanscom folks.
This is on DOD. I'm Jared Serbio on Federal News Radio. Hearing this week from Lieutenant General Michael Basla in a media roundtable he recently held with me and a few other reporters at the Pentagon about cyberspace and the Air Force's role in cyberspace. Here, Basla's responding to a question about some of the specific takeaways for the Air Force, some of the concrete changes in policy or procedure that we can expect to see out of the Air Force following a recent senior leader cyber summit, and also the Air Force's use of ranges in developing and testing new cyber capabilities.
Well, I believe that we will increase the throughput of our training centers. I can't tell you the level of that increase until the decisions are made on how much cyber command plus up will occur over the FYDP and when it will occur. Then I think that decision will be made in the next week or so. And once that occurs, that's going to, you know, send that demand signal to us, as I said, that we'll have to respond to. I think that's a concrete example, and maybe the best. The questions that we've had thus far on how we raise the awareness, I think, is fair. I think the policies are in place to have our airmen operate smartly in the environment that we find ourselves. But I'll tell you this. It doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes. There's discussion about mobile devices, right? We're doing some work in mobile devices right now because, quite frankly, if we have the right mobile devices with the right security measures implemented, that will enhance mission accomplishment, right? There's a great example in our air mobility forces. They are currently using iPads, electronic flight bags, if you will, to replace all the charts that they would carry on their missions. And there's a lot of positive results from that. Number one, the reduction of weight that improves fuel efficiency. Number two, and maybe more importantly, the currency of the charts and the maps and the weather forecasts that the pilots and the crews have as a result of being online and getting those updates more rapidly. So you know, we're looking for mobility opportunities. With that comes some risk, you know. So for every mission area, we're saying, how can I make this airman job easier and at the same time not introduce a great deal of risk to the enterprise? Now, here's an interesting thing. I'm not sure our younger airmen are fully aware of potential threats that might be out there. Because it's very difficult to separate, I think, this is my opinion here, separate your personal persona from your professional persona. And in one's personal persona, that's really the way we operate today, right? I mean, gosh, you know, my kids are all about their smartphones and their tablets, et cetera. And without real hesitancy about where they go for their information, introducing that philosophy and behavior into the military might introduce more risk. That's my point. So there's an element there of moving forward with capability and balancing that against a possible risk introduction. Now, you know, again, no different than any of our other domains, we have ranges, right? And what do we have ranges for? We have ranges so that we can practice. We can wring out our equipment. We can hone our skills. We can develop tactics, techniques, and procedures.
Lieutenant General Michael Basla is the Chief Information Officer of the Air Force and the Air Force's Chief of Information Dominance. Listening back to a recent media roundtable he held with myself and a few other reporters about cyberspace and the Air Force's role in cyberspace. We'll return for one more segment after a short break. This is on DoD on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jared Serbin. Back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This is on DoD. I'm Jared Serbi. We are hearing this week from Lieutenant General Michael Basla, the Chief Information Officer of the Air Force. These are some of the highlights of a media roundtable he held recently at the Pentagon with myself and a handful of other reporters. We begin our final segment with a question about the Air Force's relationship with industry and where industry fits into the Air Force's cyberspace future.
How we partner with industry is a challenge, I would say. Because industry, while they have all these great ideas on how they can meet our needs and also aware of some of the threats out there, industry is also very protective of their proprietary capabilities. So what we're finding right now is most of our agreements and discussion are one-on-one. Okay, so we're working with Company X. Company X says, we see this threat or we have this capability. And then we go through wringing out that and then to the acquisition discussion we had earlier. If it's something that we think has value and we have an immediate need, then we'll go through this faster acquisition approach that I discussed earlier. Then something like this is a great candidate for the ranges we just discussed. Then we'll go and put a capability. In fact, sometimes, and this is a good thing for us, industry will offer their capabilities to be tested. You know, and that'll give us an opportunity to wring something out and to test the airman's ability to adjust and train on that capability even before we have to purchase. So that's how we're partnering, I think, in a good way with industry. And I would use SA, situational awareness, You may have heard it as a common operational picture, right? That's kind of what one of our first needs are. The other thing that, and this is a little bit longer term, the number one Air Force cyber priority is our AFNET, what we call the AFNET migration. And that is taking the disparate Air Force networks that have grown up over time and created a single AFNET that is much more homogeneous, easier to defend, easier to train on, and easier to defend and protect. So, and industry is helping us with that as well. Jared?
General, my impression from both you and General Shelton, the commander of Air Force Space Command, prior to the summit was that one of the main objectives was to come up with a concrete definition of cyber for the Air Force so that it's not the black hole that your chief of staff has described. I guess, A, did you succeed in doing that? I mean, do you have something that can fit on the back of an index card now? And B, do you ever get to the point where you, the other services, the combatant commands, all have a common definition and everybody's on the same page?
So we saved the hardest question for last. No. Yeah, I'll tell you what I think. Your reference to the conversation with General Shelton and I before the summit, a little bit needs a little bit of context here. The Air Force, a few years ago, made a decision that our legacy communications and information experts would all become cyberspace experts. We really did a wholesale transformation of this one workforce into the other. Now, that has a lot of good logic behind it, because a good portion of that force has the technical expertise required in the cyberspace domain and the challenges associated. But there are different lines of operation in cyberspace. And when some people think of cyberspace, and this gets to your question, they think of the smaller parts of it. You know, what are you doing to defend in cyberspace? What are you doing to in an offensive capability in cyberspace versus what are you doing to build the net, you know, to extend the network? I mean, that's kind of a different element that we threw in the same bucket. So what and it's another task that came out of the cyber summit. And so we asked that question. Someone asked that question earlier. I think what is going to come, it's a task I have on my plate. And I think we will draw a clearer line and distinction between what is required to build, operate, and maintain, and what is required to operate on the network. So it's building versus operating on. And I think the operating on will become where we coalesce around our definition of cyberspace operations. Now, the question about the services is a great one, too, because in that cyber summit, we had a chart that kind of showed different things amongst the services, how we are approaching this whole issue. You know, what is the organization structure? Where are you located? How many forces do you have associated with it? What is your organization structure, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? And there's a lot of variety now. And I think the answer, the reason for that is because we still are defining. We heard already. We're going to get clear guidance from the Joint Chiefs, from the Office of the Secretary of Defense soon, and so that will, I think, certainly, you know, we'll look at it from an Air Force. Our organizations may change. Our how we define cyberspace operations will be adjusted. The resources we put against it will be adjusted. I think, you know, have a chance of being readjusted. So I think that's what's coming out of all this. And by the way, I'll just say one more thing about the differences between the services. I think the differences are okay because it's helping us say, okay, you know, here's another model. How is that working out? You know, and then we can, you know, I think we'll start to see there might be some more coalescing around the best of breed here.
Lieutenant General Michael Basla is the Chief Information Officer of the Air Force. He sat down with myself and a few other reporters at the Pentagon to discuss the Air Force's recent cyberspace summit with its senior leadership and where the Air Force is headed on the cyber front from here. That's going to do it for this week's edition of On DoD. Very glad you could join us. Please tune in next week. If you missed any of this week's show or any of our past shows, they will all be available at federalnewsradio.com. Use the search term On DoD. Thanks for listening. I'm Jared Serbin. So long.
You've been listening to On DoD with Federal News Radio DoD reporter Jared Serbu. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. On DoD, Wednesday afternoons at 2, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.